Are you tired of feeling like you have no purpose? You don't know where you're going in life? You feel like maybe you need to find your destiny, you know? Maybe you need to find what you are made for. Why not embark on a journey? Right here on Food for Thought with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Vicky Anslin.
I want you to think about the thing that this coronavirus has caused. And, you know, obviously it's caused people to get sick. But it's only caused a group of people to get sick. Not everyone has gotten sick. And, in fact, they don't even expect it to contaminate every single person in the world. They're expecting it to get to a number of about 83%. And if when it gets to that number, then they say that basically, and this is what epidemiologists are saying, that basically then we'll be in a situation where the disease will die. Now, obviously, some are saying that this might become like the flu because the virus mutates, and so we'll have it with us forever. And, you know, some are saying doomsday things. Others, there's another virologist I heard about a week ago who said what would often happen with a virus like this is that the one that kills people, those strains die off, and then the disease becomes a mild form, you know, of the disease. And so there's all of this news that's going on. And we don't know where to turn. We don't know where to look. We don't know what to believe anymore. And the thing is, the Bible has a lot to say about this. It has a lot to say about fear. It has a lot to say about pestilences. But what I want you to understand, the fear that comes with this disease is the biggest enemy you have. Because when God created Adam and Eve, when God created mankind, when God created human beings, He created us to be people that conquer. Right, we were meant to conquer. We were meant to take possession of the land for the kingdom of God. That is what we're meant to do. And the worst enemy to having a spirit of conquest is fear. Now, this thing of having of being a conqueror is a spirit that exists on the inside of you. And the biggest enemy to that spirit is fear. Now, if you look at the Israelites had been taken miraculously by God out of the land of Egypt. And if you look at South Africa, you know, from the days of apartheid, South Africa was ushered miraculously out of apartheid from what could have been a situation where there was total bloodshed and total destruction of his nation. And God miraculously took the nation out, even though there was a spirit of fear, even though there were many of these spirits going on, even though many people were thinking, you know, it's going to be the end of this nation, even though many people ran away. You know, God brought the nation out. And in exactly the same way, the Israelites had been slaves and God had brought them out of Egypt. And now they got to a place where they were in the wilderness. They've gone through the Red Sea. They've walked through the sea on dry land. I want you to think about that for a second. They've walked through the sea on dry land. And now they're in the wilderness. And God has promised them the promised land of Canaan. And Moses says, right, I'm going to send 12 spies out. And we're going to go and have a look at the promised land. And we're going to see, you know, how we take this promised land. And then what happened is when the spies came back, two of them spoke about it as being a land of milk and honey. Two of them spoke about it as being a place of opportunity. But 10 of them, 10 of the 12 said, you know what? We looked like grasshoppers in their sight. We looked so small. We looked so insignificant. You know, at the end of the day, all that would happen if we went into that land was that these guys would stand on us and squash us, you understand, like you'd squash a cricket or something like that, or an ant or something like that. We looked like grasshoppers in their sight. And so, because of fear, listen to me, because of fear, they allowed this opportunity to pass them by. Fear will kill the spirit of conquest that's inside of you. A person that is overcome with the spirit of fear is a weak human being. And we also see that fear is a weapon used by the enemy to kill your dreams. There's one thing that the enemy does not want you to have, and that is dreams. And the enemy will use fear to kill your dreams because dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. Dreams are the language of Almighty God. God speaks to you through dreams. And so the enemy uses fear to kill these dreams. And a person without dreams is a person without hope. And I'm going to ask you this morning, where are you going to find hope? Where are you going to find your dreams? You better find something, otherwise you're not going to go anywhere. You're not meant to survive without dreams. You're not meant to overcome without dreams. And the other thing about fear is fear will always oppose divine purpose. Fear will always oppose divine purpose. So I want you to think about those 12 spies. You read about them in Numbers 13, verse 31 to 33. So yeah, you've got Joshua and Caleb. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are so big that we had to put them on a stick and hang one bunch of grapes, and two men had to carry these grapes. That is how rich the soil is that the promised land has for us. And then we see in Numbers 13, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Now, I want you to think about what this is saying here. They give Israel a bad report. Joshua and Caleb are saying, let's go and take this land. And they say, we cannot, because they are stronger than we. They're stronger than us. And then it says, this land that is promised by God, it devours its inhabitants. In other words, it eats its inhabitants. I want you just to think about that for a second. The land promised them by Almighty God now eats the people that live in it and destroys them. This is what they're saying. This is the report that they're giving. And then it says, and there were these soldiers. There were these soldiers. And we, in our eyes, were like grasshoppers in their sight. I want you to notice, they say it from their perspective. They speak about the giants seeing them as they saw themselves. We saw ourselves as being like grasshoppers in their sight. And then they say this, and so were we in their sight. Now they start putting onto the giants what was in their minds. We don't know that the giants were seeing what they were seeing. But they assumed that the giants were seeing what they were seeing. And here's the thing, fear will always keep us in the dark. People are blinded with fear. I'm telling you, we're living in a time where people have totally and utterly lost their minds. People have gone berserk. People are going crazy. We look in Numbers 13, verse 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. And I can see Caleb here standing with us right now. Let us go up and take possession. While the world is retreating, we can take possession in Jesus' name. For we are well able to overcome it. We are well able to overcome this virus. We are well able. There have been bigger threats that have been there for the world in the past. And we are well able to overcome this. But then we see in verse 33, there we saw giants, descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. And so Caleb's saying, come guys, we are well able, we can go and take it. And now these guys are sitting there and they're saying, we're not able to take this. They're much stronger than us. If we go and we try and take this land, then we will be taken out. And you know they missed the opportunity to go to the promised land. If you read in the book of Numbers later on, after God said, fine, you didn't trust me, you're not going there. They try and go there on their own. And now it's too late. I want you to understand that fear keeps us in the dark and we lose opportunities. Even in this time, we have opportunities. If we can not only sustain the church, but we can grow the church. I'm telling you now that through the church, there's a whole lot of things that can happen, because this virus will pass in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is still as powerful today as it ever has been. And then what's going to happen is that once we've done that, we're going to really be able to go and take possession of the land for the kingdom in Jesus' name. But we've got to think like conquerors. We can't be afraid. If we get a sore throat, we can't go, oh, Corona, Corona. Let me go to Verona. And all the people in Resettenville said, no way. Amen. We can't be like that. Because if we become like that, Isaiah 59 verse 10 says, we grope like the blind along a wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even at brightest noontime, we stumble as though it were dark. Among the living, we are like the dead. Among the living, we are like the dead. From what I can see here today and from what I can see at the sites, we do not have any people here that are dead because of coronavirus. And I will promise you one thing right now. None of these people that has died so far of the coronavirus, none of them are afraid of the coronavirus. You got to be alive and vibrant and well in order to be afraid. Even if you were sick with the coronavirus, you probably wouldn't be afraid of it. You'd just be trying to get better. Amen. But now, before you're sick, you worry, you panic, you lower your immune system and all sorts of stuff. And here's the thing. This is because of fear. This is because of a lack of spiritual maturity. This comes because our eyes are only focused on this life. That's where this comes from. And fear and a lack of spiritual, mature spiritual vision stops people from being able to see the Lord's blessings. You see, even today, you have blessings. Even today, there are blessings that you have in your life. And now what happens is because of fear, you don't see those blessings. And you know, despite of the fact that opportunities might be right next to people of fear, they never seem to be able to reach Him. However, if we will come to the Lord, He will remove the veil of fear from our eyes. That veil that is blinding us, He will remove that veil and we will be able to see the opportunities of the Lord. And no matter what precautions we have to take, because we do take the precautions, we do what we can. We do what is humanly possible to do. We're not stupid. But at the end of the day, what is humanly possible only goes so far with this virus. Okay? People have trusted in science. People have worshipped the God of science, and science has no answer to this. For a vaccine, how do we know that the vaccine is going to solve the problem? How do we know that they're even going to get one? Science cannot solve this problem right now. And even if it does solve it, it will not solve it without millions and millions of people dying then. But now we got to trust God. And if we come to the Lord and He removes the veil, we will see conquest. But I understand this, that fear is always followed by frustration. You know, if frustration is a room, fear is the doorway into that room of frustration. You see, people start out in fear. Now they're sitting there and they're in isolation. They're quarantined now. And then what happens? Okay, at first it's cool. But if you look at the stories that happened with those guys who first contracted this disease, there they were sitting, and after 15 days, they're freaking out. It got into the news. Guys, we well, we want to go. We don't want to sit here in our rooms. And I bet those guys aren't there all afraid. They're the oaks that brought it here, you know what I'm saying? But they're going through the shopping centers all confident. Amen. Why? Because they've overcome. But now, how long are we going to sit in our houses? Okay, and not listening to the Lord and not doing what the Lord wants us to do. Because those who've experienced this have seen their dreams crumble. And they become infected with fear. Now, I want you to understand, as I said, there's something worse than being infected with the coronavirus. The coronavirus, as I said, won't infect everyone. But fear can infect everyone. And that's been infected with fear because you're robbed of your reward. You're robbed of the reward that the Lord has for you. And so, people also, when they're stuck in this prison of fear, tend to believe that with time, fear will leave. People think that this state of fear is a temporary thing. But I want to tell you, the spirit of fear does not leave. Fear originates in the spiritual realm and it's demonic. When you are in fear, you are under the power of a demonic spirit. And spirits are not subject to space and time. They live outside of space and time because they belong to the spiritual realm. And fear can only be defeated with the word of God and by confessing the power of the blood of Jesus. I want to say that again. Fear can only be defeated with the word of God and by expressing and confessing the power of the blood of Jesus. First of all, identify what has frightened you? And what has made people so afraid with this virus? What is the root cause of the fear? Okay, the root cause of the fear, or what people are afraid of, is dying. People are afraid of dying. And what is the root cause of this fear of death? The root cause of this fear of death is that people have trusted in stuff other than God. People have trusted their money, they've trusted science, they've trusted all sorts of things. You know, and even in the church will be challenged with this. But, you know, the only place where I'm seeing some hope coming from is the church. The only place where I'm seeing people give good messages is the church. The same church which is often slated by the media and slated by many, and is even being bashed in the media this week for saying they've endangered people. And I want you just to think about that. There's five people who toured around, went to Israel amongst others, came back with a coronavirus. They could have picked it up on a plane, a train, or anywhere. They went to a conference in Bloemfontein where there were 600 people. And then now they're worried that they've infected those 600 people. But you know, the Department of Health is busy going and tracking down all of those people that were at that conference. And here's the thing. At the conference, the place was probably clean. At the conference, they knew who was there. And so now they're able to go and find all those people. What about on the same time when that conference was going on, the people that were sitting in pubs? Somehow came here from Italy. How are they going to find those people? You understand what I'm saying? And so now everyone is just doom and gloom and, oh, look at this virus. And then what you're seeing out of the church is a message of hope and a message of hope. And I want to tell you, I'm not standing here and telling you that, listen, this is better than what it is. No, I'm telling you, I've known for like more than 2 months. This thing's pretty bad. All right? But the fact of the matter is, that doesn't dispel the Bible. That doesn't dispel the Bible. And so the root cause of your fear is that your trust has been in places other than God. And so what you need to do is you need to find a scripture. You need to find a written judgment in the scripture that opposes fear. And then you need to preach and you need to proclaim the word in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, if you're afraid, the best thing that you can do to conquer fear in your own heart is to go out and to tell people about Jesus. This is not the time to draw back from telling people about Jesus. Some people may reject you, but most people are going to listen to you because most people are desperate for hope. And where are the voices of hope in the nation? Let me be honest with you. Even the presidents and the prime minister of the world, how can they give hope at a time like this? In your own humanity, it is impossible to give hope. And even if you do give hope, the press will attack you for it. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the press says, doesn't matter what anyone says. If you go and proclaim the gospel, even to people who die of coronavirus, they can be saved for eternity. And then what you need to do is you need to saturate your mind with thoughts of faith and cultivate complete confidence in God. Get your confidence off anything else. Your fear is telling you there's something in your heart that's ahead of God. And then stay firm with your faith. Stand firm with your faith. You've got to stand firm and say, I'm going to trust God. Doesn't matter what I see, I'm going to trust God and do the opposite of what your fear is. I want you to think about the opposite of fear is faith. And what is your faith? The Lord is my shepherd. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want you to speak to yourself about fear. And you speak to yourself about fear. We spoke about it last week because the antithesis of fear is faith. And Psalm 91, verse 2 to 10, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday, nor the coronavirus that destroys at any time of the day. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you, active church. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord is my refuge, then no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your tent, which means no disaster will come near your home. Amen. Amen. And you've got to believe this. Yeah, but what if someone contracts the coronavirus? Then by His stripes we are healed in Jesus' name. But we're going to trust God no matter what. Amen. And at the end of the day, the enemy will not win against the church. And if he does not win against the church, he does not win against our eternity. No matter what the disaster, God's promises remain. And if we believe His words and we look to Him for God, for guidance, we believe His word. In other words, do you believe His word? Now you're tested. Now's the time when you must really believe this word. And if we look to Him for guidance, while verbally confessing our faith, confessing Psalm 91, confessing what the blood of Jesus has done for you, then God's words will work mightily in our lives. If we will do this, God's words will work mightily in our church. And any church that is not overcome with fear, God's words will work mightily in that church. And there's going to be a harvest like never seen before. We're going to see people coming into the kingdom of God like never before. We're going to see times where I believe that the church and the enemy is going to do everything to stop it. And he's going to use all of his tools, the media and all of these things to stop it. But the church is going to develop influence like never before. I want to challenge you and tell you that right now there are people who will listen to you that normally would never listen to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because people are afraid, because we live in an insecure world. And people thought they could make their world secure. But now when a virus comes along, you can't. You can't. And so we live in an insecure world. And because of COVID-19, what is the rule of the day? The rule of the day is anxiety. In anxiety, people turn to self-isolation. Don't we see that right now? They isolate themselves. They're trying to protect themselves. And they turn to all sorts of books. And they start reading all sorts of books. And they go to palm readers and sangomas and, you know, psychology and things like that. Now, I want to tell you, people are going to turn to two sources. Some are going to turn to the occult. Some are going to believe that the devil can save them. Other people are going to turn to faith. But people are going to turn to something in order to save them. And if you go to a psychic reader or sangoma or some occultic person, it won't help you. Because only Jesus can rescue you from the valley of the shadow of death. No one else can rescue you from the valley of the shadow of death. Only Jesus can. And in John chapter 10 verse 3, we see Jesus says, the watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by his name and he leads them out. The Lord is our shepherd. We are his sheep. He knows our names and he leads us with his staff. And so what you need to do, practice living in faith. Practice living in faith. It is important to have a daily devotion. Every morning, make it your aim to get up and to have an encounter with Jesus. We taught you in the 21-day fast how to pray. Okay, if you weren't part of that, go and look at the videos now on Active TV. We taught you how to pray. And every morning, take one of those videos and learn how to pray. Amen. Learn how to pray. Learn how to spend time with God. And every day in your devotion, meet the Holy Spirit. You meditate on the Word. You focus on Almighty God. You take your focus off Corona. Take your focus off Verona. And put your focus on Almighty God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And it's important to understand something. Here's the reality. We are not strong. And people have pretended to be strong. And I've seen a lot of people who pretended to be strong that are flipping out right now. They are freaking out right now. They have no hope. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how much we are not strong, it's God's desire to protect us. It's God's desire to overcome for us. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live victorious lives. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have this power to live victorious lives. And so you need to understand that you need to hang around other men and women of faith. I want to say it to you. What we've seen now, and we've really seen it in the last month, fear is contagious. Fear is far more contagious, and the coronavirus is very contagious. But fear is a million times more contagious than the coronavirus. Okay, you've got a segment of the world's population, about just 200 and something thousand that have had this disease. But how many billions have been afraid? Even people that you think would never be afraid are panicking. So fear is contagious, but you know what else is contagious? Faith is contagious. And I want to challenge you right now. We have to make sure with all of our might and with everything that we have, that we stay connected. We have to make sure that we're hanging around other people of faith, that we're hearing something else other than what is going on in the world around us. And that's why we've got to sit down and we've got to meet in our cell groups. And you've got to find a way to connect in the cell group. We've got to continue to meet in the church services, because this is where the battle cry goes out. And so what I want to say to those of you watching, please contact us. Please register your site and participate. When we're singing, you get up and you sing with us. You participate as if you're here. And imagine wherever you are, whether it's 2 or 10 or 20 of you, no matter how many of you there are, imagine that you're worshiping God in a packed auditorium of over 1,000 people in Jesus' name. And that we're excited, and the cries to heaven are going out, and angelic voices are going up in praise to Almighty God, you begin to see it. You begin to declare it. Doesn't matter what you see with your physical eyes. You start seeing with your spiritual eyes. And then participate. And we're going to do this thing in such a way that we're going to make sure we can multiply this thing. Amen? And we're going to find a way to do training. All right? We'll be letting you go out. We'll be letting you know this week about how we're going to do the training. But we have to train leaders. We have to train people that are fired up with the Holy Spirit. And you do calls and use Google Hangouts and do all sorts of things. And look out for good data packages. All the cell phone companies are coming out with good data packages because they're trying to assist in the effort of social distancing. Amen? But faith is contagious. Tell the person next to you, faith is contagious. You've got to hang around with people who have faith. And then you've got to grow your faith through the Word of God. You've got to grow your faith through the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want you to think about those words. Faith comes by hearing. What are you hearing? This is why every single day at 3 o'clock, 7 days a week, for as long as this thing continues, we're doing a broadcast called The Situation Room. We talk about what's happening. We talk about some of the news, but we link it to what does the Bible say? What does the Word declare? You see, the facts are changing. There are facts that are there all the time, and they are ever changing. But the Word of God stands like a rock. The facts you can't hold on to. One day you're going to have hope and the next day you're going to crash and burn. One day you're going to hear something that's going to excite you. Maybe we're going to overcome. Then you're going to hear things that are going to cause you to crash and burn. But the Word of God remains. And so meditate on that Word every morning. And then pray for a stronger faith. You see, the thing is, I want you to realize that if your faith is weak, you can ask God to strengthen your faith. You can ask Him to do this. He will do this. You can put your hand up and say, Lord, strengthen my faith. No matter what the facts are, strengthen my faith. And then verbally confess the claimed word and practice it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We looked at Psalm 91 earlier. There are other places where God promises to protect us. I really want you to soak yourself in the Word. And as you're sitting here or at one of the other sites, I want you really just to think about connecting, you know, even with the service. We're keeping it as close as possible to an hour, you know, to take into account data and stuff like that. But do what it takes to meet. Do what it takes not to forsake the gathering of the brethren. We do what we can, but the rest we're going to leave up to God. We're not going to leave up to the devil. We're not going to leave up to a virus. We're not going to leave up to all this. The stuff that goes beyond what we can do, we're going to give it over to God. Amen? Amen? D.L. Moody said, the Bible at times became a bed to lie on. Right now, I think we need a bed to lie on called the Bible. A torch in times of darkness. A tool when I was working. A musical instrument when I praised God. A teacher when I was ignorant. And a rock foundation when I took false steps. Even when I take false steps, the word of God is a rock foundation. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Every single morning, you need to experience a powerful encounter with Jesus. That's how you'll make it. You know, up until now, I think we're realizing life has been relatively comfortable. And now when it becomes a challenge, now we need to put our faith where our words are. And in terms of when you do that, you focus on Jesus. Focus on what He did for you on the cross. focus the curse of the enemy broken off your life.
Hey guys, listen, listen. Word on the street is that the new Active Worship Inception album is out.
What?
Spotify and iTunes. Inception. Going back to the original.